Welcome back to the Let God podcast. It's me, Wanipa.
Me, Mary Hannah.
And me, Aifa.
Guys, we are back with another episode today. We are slowly but surely making our way through the topics that are in our anonymous Google form. So thank you so much, you guys, for engaging with us and continually sending stuff in there. And today's topic is all about deepening faith, deepening your relationship and intimacy with Christ. You guys voted on a poll on our Instagram story, and this was the second most popular topic next to love, sex, periods, and intimacy, which if you haven't listened to, go hit up our last episode. It was fire, if I do say so myself. And that's word to MH's mum. MH's mum said she loved that episode. She a queen for that.
Oh, she did, actually. Yes, she did. Yes.
Thank you, auntie. But as always, before we begin, we're going to open with a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today and the opportunity that we have to just meet together and to talk about things that matter to your children and to us and to you, Father. And we ask that you would lead this conversation, Holy Spirit, and speak through us and help us to have the right words to say in response to these questions. And just give us the wisdom that we need, Father, to just impart your heart, Father, to your kids. And just let your heart be known and just show us how to cultivate a relationship with you and deepen and strengthen our relationship with you even as we mature and as seasons of our lives change. We love you and we thank you, Father. In your name I've prayed. Amen.
Amen. So before we get into the meat of the topic, we are going to start with an icebreaker. And today's question, because guys, we know that sometimes we leave you for extended periods of time. We know. We're sorry. But to make up for that, our icebreaker today is the good, the bad, and the funny of what's happened to you guys this past week. Just so you can feel like, you know, like we're still catching up, like you're still in tune with our lives. So, MH, why don't you go first? The good, the bad, okay. And the funny.
The good, the bad, and the funny. Good. I am a teacher, y'all. So I teach in a school in Georgia. Kind of close to where I live. Not really close, but that's besides the point. I won something, which, to be honest, I don't understand how I won or what I won. No, I know what I won, but I don't know how I won it. And I asked the person, anyway, I won a Chick-fil-A lunch, and it was great. Like, I haven't had Chick-fil-A in a minute.
I thought you were about to say, like, teacher of the district or something like
No. Like, won, like, literally a prize. So I won this little thing. It was like, it was a free Chick-fil-A lunch, and it was just really wholesome. You know, like random things on a Friday, like didn't have to pack my lunch, like just went, had a little milkshake. It was great. I really enjoyed it. So that was my good. It was a little pick-me-up. Bad. I'm a bit under the weather, so I took the day off actually on Thursday. That was my first day off at my big girl job ever. So I felt like, wow, this is like
guys,
adulting.
Guys, pray for MH's healing.
Thank you. Thank you. I receive it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I was a bit forty. I'm still a bit forty, but you know, it's just life. It's a bit getting a bit cold. Funny. This isn't funny, but actually, it's hilarious. It was my daddy's birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, daddy. He won't be listening to this, but anyway, it was my daddy's birthday yesterday, and we were just having a bit of a key at the dining table, and some of my extended family staying with me. And we were just talking about weddings and how I personally think they're a scam and how other people just spend like exorbitant amounts of money on them. And my uncle did this amazing impression of like how Nigerian mums, like a wedding is about them. Like it's not about the bride and the groom. Mm-hmm. It's about like how you're going to come in and like stroll in and be like greeting people with this like half dance, half, I don't know even how to describe it. It was just hilarious. But then he said a point about like, how people spray. If you are not familiar with like African specific, I'm not sure if it's specific to West Africa, it might be West African cultures about spraying people, so like having wads of cash, and when people are dancing you just literally like, I don't know how to describe it, you make it rain, like that's literally what you do. So people are like, when there's a function of any sort, like a birthday, a wedding, any place that is a public function that you could be dancing, if it's Nigerian, potentially West African, there's gonna be money sprayed. And so he was talking about like people have weddings and have really big functions just so that they can be sprayed like it's a money-making venture. It's like, you know, that you're giving these.
And I don't blame them.
Not really, me neither. But maybe Larkus, he was like, even you, like, you could be like a plus five to a wedding, but people will spray you just because, like, you look nice. People will spray you, like, you don't know the celebrant, you'll be sprayed. And I just thought, like, that's kind of sick. But also it's hilarious because I would totally take advantage of that if I lived if I lived on the mainland, or, you know, if I was deep in my Nigerian community bag. But that's my good, bad, and funny.
I love that. I am Faye.
I can't really think of a good right now, so I skip to the bad.
Oh no.
Sorry.
So my bad is, during the week my bike tire punctured, so I had to get it replaced, which is quite expensive. But normally I go to the same people and they give me a discount because they always see me, but I couldn't lug it all the way to them. So I had to go to a new person who gave me normal price, which was sad. Yeah, so that's my bad. But it's fixed now, so thank God. For good, I would say one of my favorite parts of my week is when I get to see my housemates. So currently we're on different placements, so we're around the area but not in the same city during the week. So when we're all home together, we have like a little debrief and like talk about our week and like have dinner together and just chill. So that's my good part of my week. That's my the best part of my week. Times of funny. Say funny was that currently I started a new life group, like connect group, basically like a small Bible study from church. And it turns out that four or five of us are basically from the same city, and we grew up like minutes away from each other. Like one of the girls, she went to the school that was literally 5 minutes away from me. So yeah, that was my funny. Just weird how people's paths cross.
Oh, that's sweet.
Cute.
I love that.
So I'm going to put my good and bad together. My bad was one day I stayed at work this week until like 10 p.m., which was not fun at all.
Mm-hmm.
But the good is, on that same day, I met one of our lovely Let God Pod listeners at a graduate recruitment event at the firm I work at, and it was really sweet. I always get so shy and embarrassed whenever anyone was like, oh, I know you, I listen to the podcast. I'm like, oh, I want to run away. But it was very sweet. She was very lovely, so shout out to her. And the funny, technically we are still in the outer parameter of my birth week, so I'm gonna say my birthday, which was last Saturday. To me, the whole endeavor was just hilarious. I had a wonderful time personally. So that's my three. Hashtag Jordan year, hashtag praise God.
That's lovely, girls.
Okay, like I said earlier, the topic of today's episode is kind of deepening faith and intimacy with God. Mm-hmm. So we just have four questions from the Google form that we're gonna address. Perhaps I can read out the first one.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So this person wants to talk about being a doer of the word and not just a hearer of the word, and that's taken from James 1:22-23. How to not remain complacent in your relationship with God, how to rebuke people in a loving way, how to lean on and listen to the Holy Spirit, identity in Christ, God in your heart, prioritizing God in all areas of your life. What does loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul look like? Okay, that was a lot. Thank you so much for that question. How do you guys want to break it down and address that?
We can just do question by question, no?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we just take a couple of us take one each, because it'll be a lot if we discuss them all, I think.
Them.
Yeah.
I think we can each do one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then go.
Round.
Mm-hmm.
I can start with the James Wan one. So I'm going to respond to the beginning of the question about being a doer of the word and not just a hearer of the word. I've just gone to James. Sorry, I'm going to pull it up again. I've just gone to James, and I want to read that passage just so that we're all on the same page. Forgive me, y'all. Madre mía. Okay, here we are. So it says here, verse 22, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For you listen to the word and don't obey. It is like glancing at your face in a mirror. And then 24, verse 24 and 25 say, you see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Off the bat, this reminds me of something we spoke about. I can't remember what season, how long ago, but we've definitely discussed the passage in Romans where it talks about God holding us accountable for the convictions that we have, the revelations that he's given us. And I think that comes into this idea about being a doer of the word and not just a hearer, in terms of, obviously, as you grow as a person and as you grow in your spiritual life, you will have new understandings of God and of your faith. And that's the beauty of it. The revelation or the understanding that you have of God or about a specific thing at 16 is not the revelation you're going to have at 22, is not the revelation you're going to have at 30, is not the revelation you're going to have at 45. It's continually growing, even if the foundation of who God is stays the same. How that comes into fruition in your life changes. And so I think when the scripture talks about being a doer of the word, not just a hearer of it, I think what the writer and what God's intention for us is, when we understand something or when God blesses us with a new understanding or brings something to our intention, whether for us to improve upon or implement into our lives, it is our responsibility to invite the Holy Spirit into helping bring that understanding or that revelation into reality. And in reference to the James 21:24 analogy about looking at yourself in the mirror and then turning away, it's like, if you have for example, I've started going to the gym, which is so not my aesthetic, but we thank God for growth. I started going to the gym to better my lifestyle and such. And it's like, if I looked at myself in the mirror one day and was like, oh, I'm not happy with my body, where I feel like I can be leaner or more toned, or you know, whatever the reason is that I hypothetically wanted to go to the gym, it would do me no good to look at myself in the mirror and then be like, well, that's just the end of it, and do nothing with the understanding or with the desire that I have to be better. I actually have to put into practice the routine or the regimen of going to the gym if I'm going to take protein or be intentional about like weight gain or muscle training or whatever the right terms are. That necessitates a certain amount of discipline. And a certain amount of cognizance of like not only the goal that I have, but where I am and how long and what is necessary to get me from where I am to where I want to be. And I think it's the same thing in scripture. Like if something is brought to your attention, let's say for example it's the music you listen to, God will hold you accountable for the understanding that you have about the role that music plays in your life. That's just a really random example, but I think it's pertinent to a lot of us. And so it's like, if God's brought that to your attention and you're like, okay, I should probably swap some things out of my rotation, or at least for a period, really be super intentional about what I listen to or what I consume. If you take that information and you do nothing with it, that's being a hearer but not a doer of the word. Whereas inviting the Holy Spirit into that decision making, whether it's like cutting things from your rotation completely, some artists, or, you know, being intentional about listening to edifying music or gospel, whatever the situation necessitates, that's being a doer of the word. I hope that makes sense, but that's my response to that one.
That was a word. Thank you so much, MH.
No,
I also just wanted to say that the passage MH was referring to, I think, is Romans 14.
Oh, Romans 14. Thank you.
Romans 14, where it kind of talks about not modeling your spiritual walk on somebody else's. Just because somebody who's strong in their faith does something which you're not comfortable with doesn't mean you should do that because you say, oh, that person does that. And everything that doesn't come from faith is sin. So, yeah.
Okay, so the second part of the question says how to not remain complacent in your relationship with God. And one thing I would say about this question is that often, especially when you've been a Christian for such a long time, it can be easy to get, quote-unquote, used to God, or to grow contempt.
Yeah.
And and the way not to remain complacent in your relationship with him is to, I guess, remain excited to be with him. And that could be in different ways. That could be switching up the sermons you listen to, switching up your Bible plans. But more than anything, just finding what you really enjoy, so it isn't just the same, so that you don't feel like you're forced to be doing certain things, but it's you're doing them because you enjoy them. So because you enjoy reading your Bible, because you enjoy worshipping, because you enjoy, I guess, just spending time with him. And I think that was the best way not to remain complacent with a relationship with God, just to remember that it is a relationship and it is a two-way thing. And just as relationships with friends and loved ones are dynamic, so your relationship with God should be. I think another way to make sure that you don't remain complacent is also to ask him to reveal things to you. And just remember that it is a journey, that sometimes it can seem a bit boring and sometimes might be more dynamic and exciting. But as long as it's the journey's going forward, that should be our end goal, to always get close to God and know, and to be able to spend more time with him and find out more about him. And as long as that's your end goal, and that you keep reminding yourself of that, then by God's grace you won't be complacent.
Thank you so much. Okay, so the third part of this question was how to rebuke people in a loving way. Now, guys, I might need some of your input. Why did I get the hard one? I think, okay, firstly, as a prerequisite, I feel like your question kind of alluded to, for me, what is the central tenet of, like, rebuking or correcting or... just guiding people in a way that is Christ-like, and that's to do it like out of love. I think as long as love is the motivation, I think whenever you are perhaps thinking that you need to have a conversation with somebody about something that may need to change, I think just make sure that your intention is loving and that you're really going at it with this mindset of, you know, I really just want the best for this person, or like, I just want them to be able to see Christ in this way, or to just, you know, just correcting people with gentleness and kindness. And the Bible even talks at various points about, I guess, some of the more formal ways that the early church were encouraged to deal with squabbles and disputes and things like that. And Galatians 6:1 says that if anyone's caught in transgression, those of you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. I think that the fact that the Bible emphasizes gentleness, I think it's also difficult to know when it is and isn't your place to rebuke someone. I think as a first step to anything, like, pray for that person, and also just like pray that God will be able to guide you in the way that is best for you to go forward. But it's a difficult one, and if I'm honest, not something that I'm particularly well versed in. I don't think I can think of a situation where I've come to someone and be like, to rebuke them or to say like, I think you're doing this and you need to change your life. But what do you guys think?
I was gonna just only say, I think it's so important to know whether it's your role to rebuke someone, or whether it's your role to like support them, or whether it's your role to just be quiet, or to like be a safe space for them. I think in general, in our society, I hate that phrase, but you know, it's relevant. In our society, like, there's such an idea of like, you know, you got to tell people what's the truth, you know, or like you got to protect your space and like be not quick, but be hyper conscious of like what's working for you and what's not working for you. But as I've grown up and like had different friendships, relationships, professional and personal, I've learned to value, like, even if things are not necessary, like, some things I see in other people are not for me to correct, and not in the sense where I feel like I'm everybody's therapist or everybody's mother, but there have been recent situations where I'm like, somebody did something that was really wrong, if not to me, but just like holistically, I don't think how they approached that was right, and it's having like repercussions on how I view them and how other people view them. But I came to the conclusion that like I think I'd be serving them less and rebuking them as opposed to just being there for them and allowing them to work through something genuinely on their own, or allowing somebody else who has a deeper proximity or a better proximity to them to like address this. So I think for me sometimes it's just like knowing, is it my role to rebuke in any case? Like there's some things that like you should defo, like if it's your friend, caution them on. Like my friends will caution me on things, I will caution them on things, but I think rebuke is very, it's very sensitive. And so I think the most important thing is to understand if that's the, if that's a position you're supposed to be taking in the first place.
Yeah, I can't lie, I don't have too much else to add, MH. I think that was a very pertinent point. I think this is a just a difficult thing in general, and not, if I'm being real, not something I've probably actively thought about too much.
I mean, I think so, honestly. Yeah, and I've never been like to rebuke. It sounds so
religious, harsh. Yes, to rebuke someone.
Because I'll easily tell my sister, girl, you're getting on my last nerve, like, return my dress. But that's not a rebuke. Do you know what I mean? Because
when I think of the word rebuke, I kind of think of, like, this person in the congregation was caught in sin and we must rebuke them. I'm kind of like, girl, if you don't just get down on your knees and pray for that person. Matter of fact, bow your head. Amen. But, yeah.
No, I totally get that.
Okay, so the next question says, I've been a Christian my whole life, but I've barely been a child of God. It's my first year at college, and I just want to grow in God. I just want to give my whole life to Him. I want to stop being a fake Christian and just put my life in His hands. But things like anxiety, depression, trauma, and even suicidal thoughts stop me. I just need advice and some biblical knowledge to help me.
Firstly, thank you for sending that and for your honesty. So we really appreciate you trusting with us with this.
The first thing that jumped to mind while we were reading this question is just, I think, don't downplay the significance of you acknowledging where you're at and that you would like to and need to make a change. I think the fact that you know that perhaps you've been ostensibly on a walk with God but have never really found that deep intimacy tells you that the Holy Spirit is kind of like knocking on the door of your heart. And I think it's always a good thing, you know, you don't want to be shut off from His voice, and the fact that you're even still like cognizant of your need to be deeper and more intimate tells you, or reminds you at least, that God is constantly waiting for you and kind of gently ushering you closer to Him. So I think take comfort in that. And I think it's so easy to be disparaging of ourselves and critical of our journey and where we are and where we're not. But like the fact that you're even still wanting to be on this journey is beautiful in itself. I remember one time speaking to MH and just like, y'all, if anybody in this world knows the deepest turmoils that I go through in my heart, other than God, it's MH. And I was just kind of being real with her one time, just like, girl, like, why do I just always make the same mistakes? One thing about me, like, I will make the same mistake multiple times, I promise you that, before I learn. And, you know, she was just, she said something to me one time, like, at the end of the day, like, when we get to heaven, God is going to look at your whole life and He's just going to be like, thank you just for sticking with me, you know? And it's so much better to go through these ups and downs, but with Him than to be totally outside of Him. So that was just what I wanted to start by saying. But yeah, anyone else feel free to jump in.
I'm just rereading the question. Things like anxiety, depression, trauma, even suicidal thoughts stop me. I think university is such an interesting place, because like you've been in this system for so long and then you get thrown into this location where you still have some sort of structure, but it's like giving you a taste of adulthood with people who may be super similar to you and people who couldn't be more different, and you're just sort of like finding the world and yourself for the first time. So I really applaud you again for like recognizing your need of God at such a crucial time in your life, where a lot of people are like, actually not sure if this Jesus thing is for me anymore. So See, yes, I think that's really beautiful. I would totally recommend, like, on a practical level, like, getting into a church community. If you can, or if there's one that you trust. It might not even be, like, this church is, like, your... You find your best friends there. The people who do, like, love that for them. But it might just be a place that you know that you can go on a Sunday or a Saturday, and somebody, you're going to receive a good word, and you're going to have a time of worship, and somebody's going to, you have people to pray for you. And it could just be as simple as that, because I think, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, like, I think sometimes we take for granted how much other people's faith can really carry us through moments that we need. And that's all to say that, like, you having a half-hearted relationship with God will be enough as long as, like, your friends and your family pray for you. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that sometimes when you don't know where to begin, other people's prayers will help you start. And so not to neglect that. And, like, with the more serious things like anxiety, depression, and trauma, working on those things in quote-unquote secular environments can be is just as beneficial. If your college has services that help with things like that, then totally take advantage of them. And yeah, as a girl said, like, if you have the heart, it's clear that you are willing to, like, wanna, as you said, give your whole life over to God and stop being a fake Christian. I just think maybe it's worth identifying where you think this quote-unquote fakeness stems from. Is it that you're not wholly convinced of the things that you say that you are, or you feel like you're cosplaying, or you're obedient for a specific reason? Because I think that we've all been in situations like that. Like, even this year, I remember speaking to a friend who I love dearly. They're not really religious anymore. They grew up in a religious background, but they're not religious anymore. And I was speaking to them about something, and they said something really powerful to me, which really made me reconsider, like, how I approach things, like purity and, like, well, so pretty much like sex and intimacy and stuff like that. And they were basically saying, like, in their experience, while they were religious, they had this idea about purity that was predicated on, like, avoiding shame, and about not feeling like this shame of, like, oh my God, I kissed somebody, oh my God, I slept with somebody, as opposed to being like, oh, I'm believing these things because I think this is God's best for me, or because I'm wholly convinced of that. And I think the dissonance between those things can sometimes get us caught up, and I understand that feeling like a fake Christian in that regard, like doing something because it's convenient or because it's easy to cosplay, like that's the right thing to do, but not being wholly convinced of it in a way that is actually foundational to your life. I totally empathize with how that can be a really tumultuous experience. But I think, yeah, giving yourself time and also praying about it and being like, God, I'm not convinced of this, if it's a matter of being like convinced of a specific belief or not really understanding a specific idea, to more deeper things, to like letting things go, or reevaluating relationships or worldviews or things like that. I think you can even pray for God to help you with the things that He's called you to, like, God, help me be obedient, God, help me to learn how to sacrifice. He's not expecting you to do any of those things on your own, which is why scripture says that His strength is made perfect in our weakness.
Amen. That was beautiful, MH.
Shout out to my friend. You know, like, some people don't even know that the Lord is using them. No, they don't even know the Lord is using them.
For real. And God bless them. God bless them.
Okay, let me read the next question. Is that all I have to say on this one, girls?
I believe
so. Okay, let me see. Next question. I know who God is in my heart, but sometimes when I read the word, I'm filled with questions, especially about God's character, and it makes me stay away from reading the word. I know it's fruitful to read my Bible, and it's something I want to do badly, but how do I get past this discomfort when reading the word? Ooh, Chile.
I think if you read the Bible just as like a piece of like literature, it's not gonna make no sense. And I say that because it's like, especially in the Old Testament, when you're reading about things like people dying and, you know, God striking down nations, it's something I have struggled with a lot. And I just kind of thought, like, what was this all for? Because in my worldview and how I understand things, I was like, this don't make sense, especially since I thought the whole plot of this book was God is love. So how is this loving? And I think it wasn't until I was intentional about studying the things that made me most uncomfortable, studying them with people who I trusted and who had a good, like, theological base. I think that was helpful. But also not being afraid of actually diving into the verses that don't necessarily sound so fruity and nice. I don't think that God wants us to hide from any part of him, because, like, the Bible says that every word of scripture is God-breathed and it's there for our teaching and for our building up. And so that really does mean every word. And I think firstly acknowledging what in the Bible doesn't sit comfortably with you and not being afraid to actually explore that deeper. The other thing I would say is, really, every time you pray, remember that the word of God is alive and it is active, and it's something that is gonna, as you confront it, it is going to confront you. As you read it, it's gonna read you back. And I don't think you can enter into that kind of zone or that kind of space to be like, you can't enter into that arena to wrestle, if I'm being real, because sometimes it is like wrestling with passages if you don't pray. And it sounds strange because it's kind of like, okay, I'm having discomfort with God, so I'm gonna ask God to prepare me to go into that. But I really feel like a very powerful prayer is to ask for God to give you the eyes to see him in every word, and to really, like, be able to see his character and to be able to just give you an open heart and an open mind. And I can't go through and give you explanations for every single instance or passage of scripture that I found difficult to reconcile initially, because there are still some which I find really difficult to reconcile. But I will say, like, just take them one at a time. And like we've said so many times on this podcast, like, we have a lifetime with God and then, God willing, an eternity more. There's no way that we're gonna understand everything all at once, and there's no call on us. That's not what we are on this earth to do, is to understand every single passage of scripture by the time we're 30 or 35, right, or even by the time that we die. So I think be patient on the journey and understand that God will reveal to you what you need at that particular time, and be okay with not understanding everything initially, because it's a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening, guys. As always, you can find us at Let God Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Spotify, Apple Podcast, or streaming services. And as always, thank you so much for those who sent in the questions. And if you have any more questions that you want us to answer, or any more topics you want us to discuss, please put it in the anonymous Google form. And also, if you want us to reply directly to you by email rather than in an episode, which takes quite a while to get through, just put your email on the form as well, so that we can reply to you directly. But thank you so much for listening. We'll see you soon.
Bye. Love y'all. Bye.